Like Old Faithful, the Federal Acquisition Regulation Council erupts periodically. It showers contracting officers and contractors alike with new rules, updates to old ones, and even subtle word changes. Joining me with the latest bucketful, procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of the law firm Petrillo & Powell. And Joe, looks like they were really doing some last minute, last end of fiscal year type of activity now.
That's right. We got a gift from the FAR folks for the end of the fiscal year.
Well, their resolution is continuing, isn't it, I guess?
I guess it is, yes.
So what's new? What do we need to know about?
Well, there are a couple of new things and some things that are more shaking than others, but let me start with the Equal Opportunity Clause that has been amended in an interim rule to protect employees who want to discuss their own compensation or that of other employees or job applicants. And if they do that sort of thing, they cannot be discriminated against in the normal definition of that term. So hiring, firing, and job compensation, etc. I suppose the point of this, and it implements an executive order, is to permit employees to compare information about what they're getting paid and to see if that compensation is fair or whether they think it reflects some other kind of improper discrimination.
And this is for federal contractors only, correct?
That's right, yes. This is part of the Equal Opportunity Clause, which is a clause that's pretty broadly used in federal contracting.
Okay, so, well, I guess it's a matter of what employees do with that information, really, that matters, if in fact they do exchange it.
Right. This just prohibits the employer from stopping them from having those communications.
All right, let's move on to some rules about consolidation and bundling of contracts, because that gets a little bit more arcane, yet much more relevant, I think, to most contracting officers.
Well, I think that's right. I think that this will be significant to contracting officers. It'll be something that small businesses will be looking at. There is a set of regulations now about bundling, and this sort of strengthens it and makes it a little bit more detailed. We now have three different categories here. There's consolidation, bundling, and substantial bundling. And as you go from one to the other, the requirements and the types of findings that have to be made and the level of approval increases. So just to give you a lay of the land here, consolidation is combining two or more contracts if at least one of them was performed by a small business. And when they're combined into a single contract, that's unlikely to be suitable for a small business concern. So this concept of consolidation reflects the trend that we've been having in procurement for quite some time now, for bigger and bigger contracts.
And so what does the rule say, that you can't do that?
Well, the rule requires a study of this. It requires the determination that the costs outweigh the benefits. The benefits outweigh the costs. And it requires things like a computation of estimated price savings, and whether or not they meet certain thresholds. It requires coordination with SBA, and it requires approval at a certain level. Those requirements mostly kick in when you get up to the next step, which is bundling. And that's consolidation, which I've just described, but at a level which is out of the reach of a small business teaming arrangement. SBA has put into place relaxed rules allowing small businesses to create teaming arrangements that might otherwise not be permitted under the regulations, and in order to compete for these kinds of contracts. So the bundling label is important because it gives small businesses that power to go and have and combine in bigger and bigger teaming arrangements to go after these contracts.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo with Petrillo & Powell. And don't bundling rules tend to affect resellers and distributors a lot?
Absolutely. But I've seen them most frequently in services contracts. It just seems to be easy to combine different types of services in a single contract, especially if they're co-located at a particular facility or base.
This leads the way then to more bundling, more consolidation, but also more justification required to do it?
Well, the bundling and consolidation was going on apace anyway. This, I think, puts in place some obstacles to it, makes it a little harder, tries to make it easier for small businesses to oppose bundling or consolidation or to cope with it by forming these teaming arrangements.
All right. And related to that, there's a slight change in a rule on multi-year contracting, which I find puzzling. Tell us about that one.
Well, this is an interesting change. It changes one word, and the word has to do with the kinds of savings to the government that are required to justify a multi-year contract. The prior test was that the savings must be substantial, and the new test is that they must be significant. And like you, I'm scratching my head about this. The reason this was done was because it was required by the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal 2016. So Congress may have had something in mind when it did this, but it isn't at all clear what that is. At least my thesaurus says they're synonyms. And the promulgation by the FAR writers doesn't explain what the significance is supposed to be. So I'm not sure this is going to matter at all.
So we don't know whether this is a significant or a substantial change.
We certainly don't.
Well, it sounds like two people, somebody on the Hill and somebody at the FAR Council, just didn't double check. And someone said, what's the word? And the other guy said, I think it's significant, so let's put that word in. Maybe they meant nothing by it.
I have no idea why they bothered to put this into a statute and make it the law of the land. But, there's probably a story there somewhere.
Okay, so this is the main ones that are in effect as of now. And there's also a new source for learning about the FAR, other than online or buying the FAR books.
Well, yes, that's right. GSA has published the FAR as a free iBook. And so now you can take it with you in your phone and have the FAR with you everywhere you go. I downloaded it last night and tried it out, and it kept crashing my app. But
aside from that, that small feature, is it searchable?
Yes, there's a search feature in it, and which wasn't working, unfortunately, but I'm sure they'll iron out those bugs.
Well, if you can get it to run, maybe you should test it with Siri and say, Siri, what does FAR 15 say about bundling if my small business is blah, 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 blah?
What a great idea. Another way to stump Siri.
All right. Well, I may download that myself. How big an app is it?
I think it's fairly large, and I think that's why it was crashing, but we'll see.
Well, if you've got the memory, go ahead and download it. Procurement Attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell, as always, thanks so much for that update.
Thank you, Tom.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.